Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The headline in Deutsche Welle, this is out of Germany, repeated across the wire services in Europe to U.S. Taliban's new ambassador to China arrives in Beijing. Bilal Karimi, first ambassador appointed since the Taliban seized power in Kabul 2 years ago, reads the copy. He is tasked with helping to build ties with China and pull Afghanistan back from international isolation, goes Deutsche Welle. Afghanistan's new ambassador to China, the first under Taliban rule, arrived in Beijing in these last hours, the Afghan foreign ministry reported. I welcome Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, and Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeping the Long War Journal. Mr. Ambassador, your experience is needed here. What does this mean that Bilal Karimi is in Beijing? And what does it promise for the Taliban working with its neighbor? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's important to understand that China has not officially announced recognition of the Taliban regime, so it's not breaking the international consensus on that issue. Yet, it has been very proactive in dealing with the Taliban regime as the de facto government. And this is one step further, letting somebody whom the Taliban consider a full-fledged ambassador. The Chinese are probably going to call him a representative, not yet accord him the full position of an ambassador, because this is not a recognized regime, but they are actually moving forward in conducting business with the Taliban. There are Chinese companies on ground. They are looking at mineral sources that the Americans had identified existed in Afghanistan, but American procedures and investment protocols precluded American investment. The Chinese are eager to go and do all of that in Afghanistan. More important than that, they want to continue to build their Belt and Road Initiative, both in Pakistan and Afghanistan, with the potential for access to Central Asia. So all of those factors are motivating the Chinese to maintain a very close relationship with the Taliban. They have had interaction with the Taliban at highest levels earlier as well. If you remember, in 2019, while the talks were still not yet formalizing with the U.S., the Chinese had already invited Mullah Baradar, the American, Taliban negotiator with the Americans, to China. So China is flexing its muscle in the region. The U.S. is out, and China wants to fill the vacuum.
Bill, your comment on this, because one of the details I recall from your reporting about the withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021 is that we were abandoning eyes on China. Is that the way to look at this, Bill? We're blind out there.
Well, and good evening, John. We've certainly blinded ourselves to what's happening in Central Asia. The U.S. presence in Afghanistan, I would say one of the benefits of being there, and certainly there were a lot of negatives, it was a violent place and still is to this day, was to keep an eye on China, to observe Russia, to keep an eye on the stance. And the loss of Bagram Air Base and all the U.S. assets in the region certainly has hurt our visibility, not just on the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State and the bevy of Pakistani and Afghan and Central Asian terror groups that operate in Afghanistan. It's to deter Chinese interests and expansionism into Central Asia. And the Chinese are certainly very eager to open up ties with the Taliban. It's a transactional relationship for sure. They certainly don't share values, but the Chinese certainly have business interests and mining interests and resources interests. And the Taliban, in turn, want legitimacy and want trade and want recognition from China. And that's what we're seeing today.
I want to stay with you, Bill, for just a moment, because there's an FT story that seems of note here as we're talking about recognizing or opening ambassador relationships with Afghanistan. Headline, this is London. Taliban carry out hundreds of floggings as grip tightens on Afghanistan. The report, since October of last year, 22, the Taliban-controlled Supreme Court has announced the punishment of more than 400 people for crimes ranging from adultery and sodomy to robbery. All were flogged except for two people who were executed for murder. There's a photograph accompanying this, dated December of 2022, of a Taliban security officer supervising a public flogging at a football stadium in Charikar, near Kabul. And of note, Bill, he's carrying an automatic weapon. He's dressed in black. He has a baseball cap on, but his boots are recognizable ISAF, NATO, U.S. forces. What do we know about flogging and executing? Has it returned to the level of 1999?
Yes, John. The Taliban are carrying out its 1990s level of floggings and harsh punishments under its Ministry of the Prevention of Vice, the Virtue and Vice Ministry, basically. You know, John, I've said this a million times, meet the new Taliban, same as the old Taliban. There are, you know, show me a moderate Taliban. The Taliban are as extremist as they were, you know, on September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, as they are today after, the, you know, 20 plus years after the withdrawal from Afghanistan. According to a British NGO, there's been hundreds of floggings throughout Afghanistan. I do not doubt these. In one bit, one of the things we saw, even in Taliban-controlled areas, when the U.S. was present in Afghanistan, is that the Taliban were very eager to carry out its harsh version of Sharia and conducted floggings and ran its Sharia courts and public executions and stonings and whatnot. So this is probably one of the least surprising stories that I'll read this year. And yet it's one of the more horrific things. And this is a direct result of the U.S. disengagement from Afghanistan. The Taliban have full control of Afghanistan, and they're using it to impose their will on a weak Afghan people.
Mr. Ambassador, this is the Taliban in Afghanistan, but the Taliban in Pakistan are a threat to the government, to the people. Is it generally understood in Pakistan that the Taliban, if they were successful, would impose floggings and executions and severity on the population? Does everybody know that?
I think that there are people who are sympathetic to that perspective, saying that that's the way to create discipline in society. Former Prime Minister Imran Khan being one of them, who said that this is the Islamic way. But then there are people like myself and many others who are worried about it. They are concerned about it. They have never supported the Taliban either in Afghanistan or in Pakistan. The problem in Pakistan is the deep state. Pakistan's military and intelligence services have looked upon the Taliban in Afghanistan as a way of balancing India strategically. They're losing that too, by the way, because the Taliban are now very smartly developing relations with the Indians, and the Indians are very smartly developing relations with the Taliban. But that is the real concern of the Pakistani military and intelligence services. They are not so concerned about the human rights dimension of the floggings, etc. As far as the Pakistani Taliban are concerned, they are attacking more and more in northwestern Pakistan, and they certainly want northwestern Pakistan at least to become just like Afghanistan, and with them ruling it the same way that the Taliban rule Afghanistan.
We're speaking of Afghanistan right now, with an ambassador in Beijing, floggings continuing in Kabul and other outlying cities. And who is in charge? This rogue failed state. When we come back, the Haqqani clan is in charge, always has been. Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Long War Journal. Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador to the United States from Pakistan, now at the Hudson Institute. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.